From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Wednesday, February 25th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. In last night's State of the Union, President Donald Trump falsely said the suspect in last year's fatal stabbing on the Charlotte light rail came into the country through open borders. Trump made that assertion while evoking last year's stabbing of Irina Zarutska, whose mother attended last night's speech as a guest.
She had escaped a brutal war only to be slain by a hardened criminal, set free to kill in America, came in through open borders.
The suspect, DeCarlos Brown Jr., is a U.S. citizen with a lengthy criminal record. He was out on bond at the time of the stabbing. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools formally presented its proposal to overhaul its school choice program on Tuesday night. Now the school board will start getting community feedback ahead of a potential vote in May. James Farrell has more from the school board meeting.
The plan could shift some student assignments and reshape magnet programs. CMS is planning 20 community engagement sessions between March and April, with full-day events planned at each of the district's comprehensive high schools and opportunities to submit feedback outside of those events as well. The board will hear the final recommendations on April 28th, hold a public hearing May 12th, and vote May 26th. But Superintendent Crystal Hill said if any changes are made after April 28th, the district will seek more community feedback before voting.
In other words, we want to make sure that everyone is clear on what the board will be voting on. We value and have prioritized transparency and community engagement.
The plan is part of the district's comprehensive review. It would reduce the number of magnet programs from 16 to 6, with offerings at schools in each of the district's three transportation zones. The changes would be implemented in the 2027-28 school year. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Last month's winter storm pushed the area energy grid to its limit. Now it's pushing utility customers to the brink of disconnection. Zachary Turner has more on the growing number of disconnections in North Carolina.
Charlotte resident Shakia Davis said she fell behind on her Duke Energy bill while paying down her Piedmont natural gas bill.
I'm a survivor, so I learned, okay, brush your teeth in cold water, wash your hands in cold water. So I learned how to get around certain stuff, but not enough for my bills to be okay.
Duke sent her a disconnect notice for March 11th, and she's not alone. In North Carolina, Duke Energy continues to send more and more disconnect notices year over year. Duke Energy Carolina saw a 10% increase in January compared to a year ago. Carol Hardison is the CEO of Crisis Assistance Ministry, which helps people get on top of high utility bills. She says a wave of disconnections could be coming.
The ones from this January will just be huge. That'll show up this month's bill, February, but it will be late in March. It'll be a disconnect in April.
Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
A local hospital system says it'll ease its visitor restrictions and masking requirements after a decline in respiratory illnesses. Kenneth Lee has more.
Starting Wednesday, all Atrium Health locations will lift the restrictions that have been in place since December. Masks will be optional for most visitors, and children 12 and under will be able to visit area hospitals. Atrium officials said if someone does have respiratory symptoms or a rash, they should not visit. There is a measles outbreak ongoing in South Carolina with a handful of cases in Mecklenburg County. Masking will still be required in high-risk patient areas. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
Driverless cars could soon be cruising the streets of Charlotte. Several autonomous Waymo vehicles have been spotted by residents in Uptown near the Carolina Panthers practice field. The company has not confirmed plans to launch here, but tells news outlets to expect a major announcement sometime today. Autonomous vehicles are allowed in North Carolina under a 2017 state law. If Waymo moves forward, it wouldn't be Charlotte's first test of the technology. Cruise taxis briefly tested in Charlotte in 2023 before halting operations. State Auditor Dave Bolick has tasked a new commission with helping to overhaul North Carolina's campaign finance reporting by next summer. The current system runs on an application that can only be downloaded to Windows computers. Once reports have been filed, it takes elections officials about 20 minutes to upload each one. Lindsay Wakely is the Board of Elections campaign finance director.
We need a modern system that's going to provide quick public access to all contribution expenditure and independent expenditure information after disclosure reports are filed. We need fast, modern processing that facilitates compliance.
Wakely says she hopes the new campaign finance reporting software can be in place by next July, so next year's municipal elections would be able to use it. Later today, state elections officials plan to announce the vendor they are hiring to replace their 28-year-old software. A short documentary will spotlight efforts in Charlotte to tackle food insecurity, including a neighborhood coalition effort in a mostly minority community. Elvis Meneyese has more.
Many Black communities grapple with profound barriers. Disparities in food availability and quality create significant challenges.
Environmental justice is food sovereignty profiles groups like the West Boulevard Neighborhood Coalition's efforts to bring a co-op grocery store to the West Boulevard corridor. Tiffany Fant with Soul Nation says a co-op gives residents a stake.
The community owns it. So you buy your membership and now you have decision-making power on how that co-op operates, what kind of food it carries.
The corridor has been without a full-service grocery store for over 30 years. In 2023, the city approved $1.5 million to seed the initiative. The coalition has faced challenges raising funds for a project that's expected to exceed $10 million, but they hope to open at the end of the year. Wednesday's documentary screening starts at 6 at the Independent Picture House and is free to attend. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
The Charlotte Hornets pounded the Chicago Bulls 131-99 on Tuesday night. Coby White played his first game as a Hornet after being traded from Chicago. He scored 10 points, had 4 assists, and grabbed 3 rebounds in just 16 minutes. The win was a franchise record 8th straight on the road for the Hornets. Rookie Con Knipple became the fastest player in NBA history to hit 200 three-point shots. The Hornets visit the Indiana Pacers on Thursday night. As the Trump administration continues its immigration crackdown, some immigrants are questioning whether filing taxes could put them at risk. Last year, a judge blocked an agreement between ICE and the IRS to share taxpayer information. But some fears persist. Julian Berger has more.
At Pasquale's farm in East Charlotte, roosters crow in the distance as families gather inside an event space with folders in hand. Volunteers sit at folding tables, typing in information from W-2s and 1099s. This is a tax preparation clinic hosted by Buenas Finanzas, part of a network of free clinics they run across the Charlotte region during tax season. For Juan Pablo Gomez, filing taxes feels less like a burden and more like belonging.
Muy normal.
Filing taxes is a very normal thing in this country.
Gomez is from Colombia. He's been in the U.S. for nearly 2 years and is waiting on an asylum claim. He drives for rideshare companies and says that this is his second time filing taxes.
It's more evidence that you want to be here legally and do things the right way.
But for many immigrants, tax season this year comes with anxiety, especially amid persistent rumors that the IRS could share information with immigration authorities. At clinics like this one, those fears come up often.
I think in general, people are sometimes nervous about tax season. There's always that concern and there's always that fear with our community because, you know, we are mixed.
That's Julie Rodriguez, director of Buenas Finanzas. The free clinics are part of the IRS's VITA program, serving low-income families. Many of them are immigrants or mixed-status households, with some members in the U.S. under legal status and others not.
¿Cuál es su nombre?
She says confusion and misinformation can leave people vulnerable.
A lot of our clients become disempowered, and so they rely on, well, my cousin did this, my aunt did that. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is to really elevate the education of the entire process.
Rodriguez says filing taxes isn't just about compliance. It can shape future opportunities.
The process of buying a home, they will need to review your income to determine how you qualify and for what you qualify. If you have adult children that are going to go into college or, you know, keep going with their education, FAFSA may be something that will require your taxes.
Immigrants pay significant amounts into the U.S. tax system. In 2022, an estimated 10.9 million undocumented immigrants paid nearly $97 billion in federal, state, and local taxes. Immigration attorney Jamila Espinosa says fear around taxes has intensified this year.
Previously, before this administration, the IRS was very limited in who it shared data with. We do know after DOGE was created, there was a policy change in which the IRS agreed in certain parts to share information.
Espinosa says those fears are showing up daily in her work.
It's actually a question I receive on a daily basis lately because immigrants, whether they have legal status or not, are very, very good about filing their taxes.
Espinosa says filing taxes is often helpful for those seeking legal residency.
One of the things that the judges typically want to see is have you continuously paid your taxes and filed your taxes. And so that can show the government that you are a person of what we call in immigration context, good moral character.
Back at the clinic, Gomez says filing taxes is part of building stability, especially for his children.
I need to think about them. I want them to live here.
Julian Berger, WFAE News.
It's time for a fact check of North Carolina politics. A new ad accuses a Republican state Senate candidate of criticizing President Trump's immigration policy. The ad supports Senate Leader Phil Berger over his GOP primary challenger, Rockingham County Sheriff Sam Page.
Sam Page, he got busted calling Trump's plan unrealistic.
It's unrealistic to assume that 12 to 14 million people will just leave the United States.
Sam Page, wrong on Trump, wrong on immigration, wrong for us.
For more, Paul Spey of WRAL spoke with our Marshall Terry.
Before diving into the ad, what's the bigger context of this race? Berger is widely seen as the most powerful politician in the state, but he's neck and neck in this primary, right?
That's right. Phil Berger has been the Senate leader for more than 15 years now. And Sam Page decided to challenge him for what he calls local issues. While Berger may be one of the most accomplished Republican leaders in North Carolina history, certainly when it comes to state government and changing state policies, people in his district became upset when the state started considering a casino in the district. Now, the idea at the time was to stop people from going to Virginia and spending their money at casinos there. People did not like that. That leads us to where we are today, where Sam Page, longtime sheriff, alleging that he's more in touch with the people of the district than Senate Leader Berger, who, of course, disputes that and says, hey, that casino never happened. I've been responsive. There's a lot of money in this race. That's what we see with this third party ad.
Okay, the remarks by Sheriff Page in this ad were made several years before Donald Trump even announced he was running for president. Has Page supported Trump since then?
Oh, yes. This video comes from 2012. He was reading from a document put together by the National Sheriff's Association. If you go back and watch the video, you can hear him say, the National Sheriff's Association recommends the following. And then he goes through a list, and then you hear the comment from the ad that it's unrealistic to assume that 12 to 14 million people will just leave the United States if asked. That last part is cut out of the ad where Page says, if asked. That might make a difference to the viewers who see it. Sheriff Page has been one of Trump's most vocal supporters since he came on the scene. He co-founded Sheriffs for Trump in 2016. Even later that year, before Trump was elected, Page was quoted in the New York Times as a Trump supporter saying, I believe we need to remove all criminal offenders that are in this country illegally.
Well, who's the group behind this ad, NC True Conservatives?
This is a third-party group, not directly affiliated with the candidates, but they tend to support one of the candidates. You know, this ad rightfully points out that President Donald Trump endorsed Phil Berger in this race, but then goes on to take this quote from Page from 2012 way out of context.
Well, what has Page said about the ad?
He says that it completely misrepresents his views and that his support for Trump over the years shows that those remarks in the 2012 video do not reflect his feelings about Trump.
How did you rate the claim in this ad?
We rated it false. Even though Page said those words, they don't represent what the ad claims. He was not busted for criticizing Trump or his plan. He has come out in recent years and praised both Trump and his efforts to crack down on immigration. Most recently, when the One Big Beautiful Bill Act was passed, that sent billions of dollars to the Department of Homeland Security to increase the number of immigration agents and the amount of deportations. Page put on social media his support for that. In short, this ad just doesn't line up with what Page has actually said in recent years about the Trump administration's policies.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Paul Spey with WRAL. These fact checks are a collaboration between PolitiFact and WRAL.
And for Wednesday, February 25th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.